For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This Sunday is set apart at the beginning of the new calendar year for the holy name of our Lord. That name in Hebrew is pronounced Yeshua, which can also be understood to be Joshua. And that's very interesting when we think about the Joshua of the Old Testament, how he was in a certain manner a savior to the Hebrews wanting to enter into the land of the Canaanites, how he and Caleb, ironically, went as spies into that land and came back saying that they should go. And indeed, that name, Yeshua, means savior. It is the title, the occupation that's given in conjunction with the shedding of the precious blood, because this feast follows so closely to that of the circumcision. For this feast in the divine office, the Matins readings are that taken from the Acts of the Apostles. And it's the episode that there is a lame man who is daily brought to the temple. And he's laid at the door of the temple, and he begs for alms of those who are going in to the temple to pray. And this man is a living image of souls even today, who no longer know how to walk in the paths of virtue, primarily because they have no wish to do so. And we can see a little bit of that in our own lives today. The type of virtue once practiced by two generations ago is a foreign concept for today. When we think back that there once upon a time was such a thing as ordering by mail goods that we couldn't get in town, now is simply a click away on Amazon Prime. And as certainly as convenient as that is, we're certainly not knocking convenience, it does illustrate to a certain extent this idea that there is no virtue to be had because of this facility of things. And certainly, things are very easy to come by now in relation to what they once were. But nevertheless, there are souls who do not know how to walk in virtue. They've never had it shown them. And therefore, they have no wish to do so. And this man, in the Acts of the Apostles, he's sitting, by the gate of this temple, this doorway to the temple. And he has no interior religious sentiment. In other words, he doesn't go to the temple because he's hoping out of some pious devotion. He's hoping out of some religious ideal. But rather, he goes there because it's an ingrained habit, and it's a show of religion. And that's an image of a soul that's concerned only with the world. Because such a soul becomes a beggar of the world. He becomes stripped and empty of God's grace. And it's very akin to the poor victim of the robbers that we have in the Gospel of the Good Samaritan. He's left beaten and stripped and left for dead in the ditch. This man, in this episode, he's lame, he's crippled, cannot walk for himself. But he's at the gates, waiting, begging. And it's at the prayer of St. Peter, and in conjunction with St. John, of their invocation of the holy name of our Lord, that he is miraculously cured, such that he goes into the temple with them, praising God, walking and leaping, it says, to express his rejoicing at his cure. And St. Luke, who is the author of the Acts of the Apostle, points out that this beggar looked to St. Peter and to St. John as they prepared to enter the temple. And he says he was hoping to receive something. And what about us? What about our own souls? We look too often to human solutions, human answers to our difficulties, our problems, our trials, our crosses, such that there is, in all the practical order, no hope, no sense of trusting in God or having confidence in God's power or in his love. That there could be something that escapes the power of God. St. Peter tells this man, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have, that I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." And he does. This man is brought to his feet, and he walks into the temple with them, praising God and leaping, as I said before. And so we should ask ourselves, what is our replacement for this divine name? What is our silver and gold that we are asking from a human solution? St. Ambrose has a very beautiful quote concerning this divine name. He says, "If you fear death, this name is life. If you aspire to heaven, it is the way. If you burn with fever, it is health. If you are dying of hunger, it is food. If you feel oppressed with fatigue, it is rest. If you fight and struggle, it is the crown." And with such a saint having that to say about this holy name, this divine name, why do we fear calling upon it, this name that was given by heaven? We should not look upon it as being a quote-unquote Protestant thing to call upon the holy name. Yes, the Protestants may have usurped it, perhaps even to abuse it. But it doesn't change the fact that it is the name given by heaven. It is this divine name of a divine person. Why do we fear calling upon it? Our Lady doubtlessly called him by that name countless times, especially in the hidden years of the Holy Family. And if you have this trepidation of soul, wondering, is it breaching a certain reverence to call upon that name? Is it too bold to do? Then ask her to call his name for you, so that in turn you may be cured of your own lameness of soul. For by his name, if we let her, she will give our souls to his power. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.